Our scripture reading is John 14:15-19. John 14:15-19. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also.
Amen. As we listen to the message today, From Hurt to Help, the Lord laid this upon my heart. I was talking to a group of church officials not long ago, and we were kind of talking about all of the church members who are going through difficult times right now. And that may include you, and chances are it does include you in one format or another, because all of us go through hard times. All of us go through painful times, through trying times. And that seems to be the nature of living on this sinful planet. And so I've called the message From Hurt to Help, because God truly does provide help. And I'm going to ask you to have your Bibles open to the 14th chapter of John. We're going to use a couple of different places. And that's our scripture passage, but we'll also be looking at some other scriptures as well. But John 14 gives us comfort, gives us help. Before we begin, let's just bow our heads for a moment. Heavenly Father, you who offer to us the Spirit of truth, who is the Spirit of help, Lord, we just pray that something in this message today would touch our lives, would heal us from whatever we may be suffering today. Help us, Lord, to grasp the truth that you are a God of all help. You are the God of comfort. You are the God of hope. And so, Lord, as we fix our thoughts on you in the next few moments, Lord, I pray that this message, even though it comes from my mouth, would find its source in your mind, in your heart, and from your throne. For we ask it in the name of Jesus and through his ministering spirit. Amen. From Hurt to Help. Martin Luther called it, and I'm going to try to pronounce the German word very carefully, Anfechtung. Now, I probably slaughtered that word, but that's what he called it during those times in his life when he was going through episodes of severe depression. Not only before he was converted, not only before he came to understand the gospel, but even often throughout his later years, as he was afflicted by the devil, as he came confronted face to face with his own inadequacies, his own doubts. Lincoln had a name for it too. I don't remember what it was, but Abraham Lincoln suffered through this affliction that was so common to so many. Winston Churchill called it his black dog. When Winston Churchill went through times of dejection, times of being cast aside by the people that he worked so hard for, he would go into these deep, dark, gloomy bouts of, you know what it is, depression. He called it his black dog. A debilitating, soul-crushing sense of worthlessness, of gloom, of doom. The darkness just kind of seemed to surround him and overwhelm him. He called it his black dog. Lincoln suffered from it. Martin Luther suffered from it. Charles Spurgeon, the great preacher of the 1800s, suffered from it. John Wesley, on occasion, suffered from it. Mother Teresa suffered from it. Well, those are people in history. What about in the Bible times? Elijah the prophet, remember him? You know, one day he's standing on top of Mount Carmel, calling down fire from God, and the next day, because he hears a threat from Queen Jezebel, he's off in the desert, running, fleeing from her just as fast as he can go. And when he finally collapses in exhaustion underneath a juniper tree, he wakes up, an angel wakes him up and feeds him, and he cries out, "Oh, just let me die. I'm no better than my fathers were." That was Elijah, the champion of God. John the Baptist, he who pointed to Jesus there on the banks of the Jordan River and says, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." Now he's in a prison, Herod's prison. Now he hears the rumors of this Jesus, the young Nazarene, who is going around and preaching and doing miracles and signs and wonders. But he, like many people, had this expectation that Jesus is going to deliver me. He's going to deliver the Israelite people. He's going to reestablish, you know, the Davidic throne. And John the Baptist, this great champion of God, is now suffering doubts, depression. He's suffering the hurt of disappointment. And so he sends a couple of his disciples. You can read about it in Matthew 11. He sends several of his disciples. Jesus, are you really the one to come? Or do we wait for another? And so you see episode after episode of great men and women in history, men and women in Bible times, great champions of God who suffer these bouts of, we call it depression. Luther called it his afting tongue, whatever that it was. Churchill called it his black dog. Let me tell you, friends, if you ever suffer depression, if you ever suffer that sense of overwhelming, debilitating discouragement, you're in good company. I just want to assure you of that. Now, let's be honest. Everybody suffers depression from time to time, right? I mean, it's actually... I'm not saying it's a good thing, but you could virtually say it's a normal thing, especially this time of the year, the holiday season. Now, what happens during the holiday season? Well, for one thing, the days are getting shorter, the darkness gets darker, longer, it gets colder outside, you feel less and less like going outside, you start to feel a little bit of what they call cabin fever, you just don't feel like going outside, and you just feel like curling up by the fire, if you have a fireplace, and reading a book, you just don't feel motivated. Well, we call that the winter blahs, okay? And here we are, right on the border of winter. Oh, it's a nice day today, but just you wait. It's coming. Are you depressed yet? Well, I hope not too much. You know, some people thrive on winter. Winter sports, downhill skiing, sledding. Not me. You know, I value my joints too much, you know. But when it comes to depression, it's something that we all share in one degree or another. And it's something that some people, and I mentioned Martin Luther and Lincoln Churchill, they experience this to incredibly harsh degrees. Because they were in that position. Now, what is depression about? What causes depression? Well, a number of things can cause depression. One is bereavement, loss of a loved one, of course. We reflect upon the loss of someone who is near and dear to us. I wrote several things down just off the top of my head. A sense of anxiousness, you know, a fear for the future, the sense of impending doom, okay, that shrouds us. You know, you look at the world headlines and you just wonder, how long can this world keep going without everything just collapsing in on itself before total destruction just happens on a worldwide scale? You look at disasters that happen in the world and you feel a sense of suffering along with the people who are going through those disasters, such as in the Philippines now. And you feel a sense of helplessness. If I could only help these people, but you don't know what to do besides pray for them. And you realize that there are people suffering and people still entrapped and people who have died because of disaster upon disaster, whether it's man-made, whether it's nature-made. We share sometimes the feeling of empathy with these people, and it causes a sense of depression. We could talk about a sense of fear, loneliness. Okay, loneliness can cause depression. That sense of isolation, being isolated from other people. A lack of a sense of meaning. A sense of low esteem. Just that overall sense of dread, low self-esteem. Well, I'm not very good. You know, I don't have any great talents. I'm not beautiful. I'm not handsome. I'm not wealthy. I'm not smart. I'm not, you know. And so we develop these concepts about ourselves that cause us to brood upon what we're lacking in our lives. If I only had a little bit more of this, if I was only taller, if I was only more beautiful, if I was only more intelligent, then I would feel good about myself. I wouldn't feel so depressed about myself all the time. Well, you kind of caught the key word in there, didn't you? Self, right? Because there's an aspect of depression that does tend to have us focus in on ourselves and concern about ourselves. And depression is primarily... You know, it's an emotion. It's an emotion that can affect you mentally. It can affect you physically. It can cause you to think thoughts that simply aren't true. Well, I'm going to assure you this morning that the most effective antidote towards depression is truth. Okay? And we're going to unpack that in a few moments. Depression. Jesus' disciples were depressed one night. Jesus, in John 13, verse 33, was sitting with his disciples there in that upper room. He had washed their feet. They had been remembering how he had ministered to them. They loved their Lord and Master. They had walked with him for 3.5 years. They had answered the call. Okay? Jesus told them, come and follow me. And they came and followed him. And he kept their life in a continual expectation of what amazing thing is going to happen today. What incredible event is he going to cause to happen now? And as they followed him, they learned to love him more and more, to depend upon him. And now he announces to them, little children, John 13, 33, little children, I'm going to be with you just a little while longer. You'll seek me. And as I said to the Jews, where I am going, you cannot come. So now I say to you, Jesus told them in sad words, I'm going away and you can't come with me. I remember being a little boy, you know, when dad's going to town, you know, or they're going out someplace, they're going shopping, and I'm left home with my brothers and sisters. And you know how little children are, you know, but can I come? Right? Can I go? Nope, you can't come with us this time. But I want to go. No, you can't come. And you stand there crying your eyes out. You wanted to go to town with mom and dad, and they wouldn't take you. Now, that's something I remember so well as a child, you know, for whatever reason. Maybe I was just too too uppity for them, too wild, too hyperactive was what they call it back in those days. But crying because you couldn't go with mom and dad to town or your older brother or sister. And maybe that's a little bit how the disciples felt. Jesus is going away from them. He who they had learned to love and depend upon for 3.5 years was leaving them. And when he told them that deep sense of loss, of bereavement, that unsettling sense of gloom and shrouded about them. And they said, what? I can't believe Jesus is leaving us. Now, I love Peter here. Okay. Now, whatever else you can say about Peter, Peter was a man with good intentions. His heart was in the right place. He speaks up and says, Lord, why can't we come with you? I would die for you. Any place you go, Lord, we're going with you, even if it means unto death. And what does Jesus say? Peter, I love you for your sincerity. But son, before the cock crows three times, you're going to deny me. But Peter's heart was in the right place. He wanted to go with Jesus. And through this darkness of gloom and sense of bereavement, the sense of loss, Jesus now speaks words of encouragement to his disciples. He looks at them, for instance, and says in chapter 14, don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Oh, Lord, but when? When are you coming back? How long are you going to be gone? How are we going to go on without you? And you can sense that, as you read it carefully, you can sense that impending gloom that just saturates that room as Jesus has told them he's no longer going to be there to minister to them, to share the joy of the kingdom of heaven with them. They're going through depression. They're going through all of the aspects of it. Well, Jesus tells them later on, in a few verses down, the solution to depression. Now, as I say this, I'm being very careful here because I'm not saying that this gives the answer to every aspect of depression. Sometimes there's a thing called chronic depression, you know. We may need some medical help, you know, we may need some attention for it. But as I study this portion of the scripture, it struck me, God has the answer for that which gets us gloomy. God has a way of lifting us up when we feel down. Jesus says, and now we come to our scripture passage, John 14, verse 15, if you love me, oh, the disciples loved him. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another, what's the next word? Comforter. All right? Now, when we're afflicted, when we're going through loss, when we're feeling anxious, when we're feeling the gloomy waves of depression and whatever way it may strike us, what we're looking for is some comfort, right? We want someone to bring some joy, restore the joy back to us, to make us feel better. Jesus says, okay, yes, I'm going away. You don't know when I'm coming back, but while I'm away, I'm going to pray the Father. He's going to send you another comforter. Now, the original Greek word, parakletos, can be interpreted a number of ways, and it is, depending on which Bible translation you have. It could be helper, comforter, one who comes down along beside you, counselor. You know, different Bible translations translate it differently. But it all has the sense of someone who comes down and is with you in good times and bad, who is not only with you, but dwells in you and does some wonderful things for you as you interact with this being. Now, who is this comforter? He says, I will pray the Father, he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be where? In you. Okay. What does this comforter do? Well, what does any comforter do? He brings comfort in time of need. Okay? He brings solace in times of pain and suffering. Now, he does not always take these feelings away from us. Okay? When we're struggling with bereavement, yeah, that bereavement is real. And we go through these times. But what he does is he brings consolation. He brings solace during these times. Okay, he's called the Comforter. He says, the Spirit of Truth, who the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. Or the original language says, I will not leave you like orphans. Now, who are orphans? Orphans are children who are bereaved. Okay? Children who are isolated. Children who are left alone without parents to care for them, to guide them, to protect them. Jesus says, even though I'm physically going away, I'm not going to leave you like orphans, but I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. I'm going to send the Comforter. And what's this Comforter going to do? A little while longer, the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Now, what is the role of the Holy Spirit? To point us to Jesus Christ. Okay? To lead us into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus says to his disciples, even though the world won't see me, through the Spirit's power, through the Spirit being with my people and in my people, you will see me. And in that day, you will know that I am in my Father, you and me. What is Jesus talking about here? He's called the Spirit of Truth. In fact, a few verses down the pike in 16:13, he says, the Holy Spirit comes, he will guide you into truth. Well, let me ask you this. When it comes to depression, and let's just be honest, we all face it sometimes, you know, for whatever reason, sense of inadequacy, sense of low self-esteem, sense of being locked in the house for long periods of time because of the weather. You know, we all get the winter blahs. Sometimes we just get, you know, moderate blahs, you know, and I just kind of feel in the dumps today. Other times because of severe things such as bereavement, such as loss of a loved one, such as loss of our health. Or a change of our situation, our life circumstances. You know, sometimes this depression, this sense can get pretty heavy. But let's see what the Spirit of Truth can do for us at a time like this. At a time like bereavement, for example. We say goodbye to someone that we love, whether it's a spouse, whether it's a parent, whether it's a child. We're bereaved because of the sense of loss that we experience, which is a normal sense that we have all gone through at some time in our life. And if we haven't, we will someday. But the truth is, we have not said goodbye to our loved one forever. We have simply laid them down to sleep until Jesus comes. And that gives us a whole new way of looking at that bereavement. And so like Paul, we can say, well, we mourn, but we don't mourn as those who have no hope. We simply mourn as those who say goodbye for a while. Amen? And that's what the Spirit of Truth does. He applies His truth to our discomfort. He applies His knowledge of the truth to our sense of depression and says, the reason, the things that are causing you depression, many, many times, they can be quelled away when we take a good, solid look at the truth. And the Spirit of truth guides us into this truth. Let's apply it further. Anxiety for the future. All right? You read the headlines and you just kind of have this sense of impending doom. You know, something's going to happen. Something big's going to happen. And there's going to be a lot of pain and suffering. Well, the truth of the matter is, it's true. But the truth also is that all of these are footsteps in the sky. Jesus is coming soon. And so the Spirit of God would have us look beyond the present realities, the present pain and suffering, to the truth that Jesus is coming soon. And one day soon, all of these things will become a bad memory. All of these things will be history. We will discover, at any cost, heaven was cheap enough, and we'll just be thanking God to be there. That's what the Spirit of truth does. It points us to the Word of truth. Helps us to realize that there's more to this life. With his agonies, with his pains and suffering. But that God has a plan for this human world. God has a plan for the human condition. God has a plan for us. We don't need to let the gloomy waves of depression and negativity flood around us and enshroud us. But we can rest upon the living Word of God. And the Spirit of truth teaches us the truth in God's Word. The best antidote for depression is the truth of God. Okay? I mentioned, you know, the depression sometimes brought on by a sense of loneliness. Okay? You know, many of us, you know, experience that. And you know what? You can be lonely. You can be happily married. You can be in a crowd of people and still feel a sense of loneliness. You know that? You know? But the truth is, okay, when the Spirit of God is in your life, you have a friend who says, I will never leave you or forsake you for a moment. God is a friend you can talk to, and talk with, and communicate with any given moment of the day. He's never on hold. You never have to put money into the phone machine in order to talk with him. You never have to figure out how to use your little iPod in order to communicate back and forth with God. You simply talk to Him as a friend to a friend. And so even though you may feel lonely sometimes, not with God in your life, with the Holy Spirit with you and in you, you are not alone. But He says, I am with you and I will never leave you. And of course He gives us the blessing of this family in Christ. By the way, you know, if you're feeling lonely, call somebody, right? Call somebody. Have a conversation. Encourage someone else who's lonely. That's part of the truth of God's Word as well. Low self-esteem can cause depression. Oh, I just don't feel like I'm very good. You know, I don't feel like I'm very worthwhile. You know. And then I look to the cross, like we talked about in Sabbath school this morning, and I realize that I'm worth the death of Christ on a cross. And I realize I must be of incredible value to God. And believe it or not, I'm of great value to other people as well. And as I start to think these thoughts, and as I start to reorient my way of thinking and change my attitude about myself, my attitude about God, my attitude about my fellow men and women on this earth, I begin to realize that depression that I cater to, those sense of worthlessness, those senses that seem to just overbear me sometimes, those are all simply assaults from the devil. Greater is He who is in me than he who is in the world. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I don't need to succumb to the power of the devil to discourage and depress and cause hurt. Because when there's hurt, God offers help. When there's pain, God offers relief. When there's bereavement, God offers comfort. And so we strive to keep our thoughts focused on Him. We try to think in the long term from the eternal picture that God sees us. And even as we miss our loved one, or we wish we had better health, or we wish we had, you know, more of this or more of that, we realize God is still in control of this picture, and that I can put my full, complete trust in Him. oh, someone else that was tended to be down sometimes, David. David, a prophet, a shepherd boy, king of Israel. But I want to call your attention to something David said. David said in Psalm 42, all right? Now, just in case, you may have heard someone say, well, it's a sin to feel down and out, you know. Well, if it is, just recognize you're in good company, okay? Recognize that feeling the blahs, feeling depressed sometimes, is a normal part of the human experience. Now, it's what we do with that human experience that's really important. You know, I can choose. You know, I have a book in my library, Happiness is a Choice. Wow, that's kind of a hard concept to us, isn't it? You know, because we look at the circumstances that make us unhappy sometimes, don't we? You know, if I only had this, if I only had that, then I would be happy. Well, this book is written by some prominent Christian psychologists, says happiness is a choice we make. And it was a choice that David made. In Psalm 42, verse 5. Psalm 42, verse 5. We'll close with this. Because I know you're smelling the food and it's getting hungry. And it's depressing you to be hungry. Okay? Just like Elijah. You know, one of the ways that the angel took care of his depression was to feed him. Right? It says, eat and drink. The journey's long. So he fed him. You know, take care of yourself. All right? Take care of your physical self, and your emotional self will often follow suit. But Psalm 42, verse 5, it's actually a contemplation of the sons of Korah. It's not technically one of David's songs, but it could well be. All right? And it says, Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Question indeed. Why are you disquieted? You know, sometimes, you know, isn't this true? Sometimes you can't really put your finger on why you're hurting. Okay? Sometimes you can't really put your finger, why am I feeling so down today? And it may be nothing more than you've been in the house a long time and the sun's not been shining and it's cold outside, as it's going to be in a few weeks. All right? Or maybe you just kind of got caught up in the glitz and glitter of the holiday season. And, you know, I know the other day I was switching the radio station around like I'm liable to do when I'm driving along. And I come across a station and they're already playing Christmas music. And I'm like, oh, please, enough of it already. Now, I love Christmas. But it's like people are trying to fill this empty void by having Christmas songs in their life this early. We haven't even been through Thanksgiving. In fact, this was before Halloween. They're playing Christmas music. Well, what's happening here? People are trying to fill that void. They're trying to fill the emptiness in their life by creating this sense of joviality, this sense of celebration. But you know what? It's not really working. All right? It's not really making people happier. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Oh, if I only knew the answer, right? Why are you disquieted, O my soul? He's talking to himself. All right? Why am I feeling so down and out? What is the cause? Now, he could have gone through the list that I've shared with you. He could have talked about the losses in his life. He could have talked about the pain and suffering he's endured. He could have talked about issues of self-esteem. He could have talked about anxiety, the angst for the future. He could have talked about a multitude of things. But he doesn't choose to do this. He simply goes to the answer. You know what? I think God would have us learn from this. All right? There's a million reasons we can feel despondent, despaired, and depressed in this world. But God gives us the answer. He says right this, hope in God, for I will yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Okay? Hope in God, for I will yet praise him for the help of his countenance. You ever get depressed? And Jesus says, look unto my Father. In fact, there was a time, now don't worry, I won't have you do this today, but I remember a great sermon I heard many years ago. It was called Jesus Said Jump. It was based on Luke, I think it's Luke 6:22 or 5:22 or something. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy. Okay? Because what happens in that proverbial sense of leaping, we leave our concerns and our cares with God. Jesus says, look unto me. I will give you joy. Jesus says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will point to me, the source of joy. Jesus says, "My peace I give to you, not as the world gives it." And the world can't take it away. The world won't understand it. But you can have it. A peace in the time of turmoil. A joy in the time of affliction. A sense of well-being, even though it seems like the carpet may be being pulled out from underneath your feet. A sense that when the Spirit of truth is in your life, He ministers the truth to your particular emotional, psychological, moral, spiritual situation. He administers His truth to you, that you don't need to harbor these feelings of depression, these feelings of hurt, but He can bring comfort. That's why He's called the Comforter. And just as surely as Jesus comforted His disciples, that's why they missed Him so much when He left. That's why they feared His exit from them so much. Just as surely as Jesus ministered to their needs, and He brought comfort to them in their times of affliction, so the living Spirit of God can bring this comfort to you. Do you believe that? Does anybody believe that? Am I just talking into the air? We believe the Bible, right? So we believe that the Holy Spirit can bring comfort to us, right? Okay. It's all where we look. It's all where we focus our attention. We don't need to be cast down. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God. And that's the answer. Now, medical people can help us. All right, there's, you know, chronic depression, you know, sometimes our hurts, you know, need some extra help. Talking it out with people, you know, getting help from our brothers and sisters in Christ who are willing to share the wisdom that they have. Spending too much time sitting alone and brooding about something is never helpful. But be where people can help. Trust in the Spirit of God to bring the comfort that He longs to bring us. We're in this time of the year, the holiday season, where some of these issues are particularly going to be strong. We're just before the holiday season and into the winter season, where loneliness sometimes is going to seem extra strong, extra afflicting. But we can trust in Christ. We can trust in Him to bring His comfort. He says, "If you love me, keep my commandments. I will pray the Father. He will send you the Comforter." And sometimes we need Him so much, but He loves us so much and wants us to learn to depend upon Him as our source of joy and of peace and of comfort. May we pray together. Loving Father in heaven, we thank You so much for the truth that Jesus has revealed to us, the sense of the Comforter. He has not left us as orphans. He's not left us alone. He has promised He would never leave us or forsake us for a moment. That He is with us. That He is encouraging us. That He is strengthening us. Lord, we just pray that every day You would remind us to pray for the Comforter in our lives. That He may not only comfort us, but make us a source of comfort to one another. Bless us, Lord, we pray. Help us, especially during this holiday and this winter season, to remember, whatever our situation, You are always there, and You are always good to us. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for this word You've spoken to us. In Jesus' name, amen.